Of Luke chapter 9, we will be reading verses 28 through 36. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he had said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent. And in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There is this thing that we often refer to as mountaintop experiences. Have you ever had a mountaintop experience? Sometimes they're actually up on mountaintops. Right, you can get the image, imagine standing up on this high place, standing high above everything else and looking out, seeing the beauty of the world around you, being in awe. How incredible an experience it is to stand on these mountaintops, to be able to see with such clarity the things that are around you, to recognize these things. It is an incredible thing to be on a mountaintop, but these mountaintop experiences, we often talk about experiences of God. Just like being up on the mountain and having this incredible view, seeing all of those things around you, to have these mountaintop experiences, to experience God and get this understanding, to have this closeness with God. They are incredible things. Now, growing up in Florida, we did not have too many mountains around. And so this idea of a mountaintop experience was things were, my mountaintop experiences were very rarely in high places. They were usually around water, perhaps at the beach, near the ocean, seeing the vast power. The ocean is kind of its own mountain in a way. Or in the springs, in the forest, this crystal clear water bubbling up from the ground. These were the places that I felt closest to God most often. Peter and James and John go with Jesus to a mountaintop. And they have this mountaintop experience. They are there at the top of this mountain where this incredible experience happens, where they get a glimpse of the divine. Now, all throughout scriptures, God does a lot on the mountains. Here in our scripture, Peter, James, and John see Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah. Now, Moses, you are probably more familiar with. Moses goes up on the mountain and has his own experience with God. Do you remember what happens with Moses up on the mountain when he meets God? What does he come down with? The Ten Commandments. Did we all just picture Charlton Heston right then? Yep. Bye-bye. See, I know some old actors and some old movies. I told y'all. I will get there. Moses goes up on the mountain twice, actually, to receive the Ten Commandments. He comes down the first time and the people are worshiping a calf. He breaks those Ten Commandments. He goes back up later. When Moses experiences God on the mountaintop, he has his own transformation. The scripture says that Moses comes down and his face is shining. It's glistening. Being in the presence of God has changed what Moses looks like. He comes down. When Moses goes up on the mountain, he actually gets a little full of himself. Moses talked to God quite often, particularly on the mountains. And at one point, Moses says, "I want to look upon your face." He says that to God. Can you imagine that? Speaking with God and saying, "God, I want to see you. We've been talking so often. Let me see you." God says, "No one can look upon my face and live. But look over here. There's a cleft in this rock. You can go in there. I will place my hand upon you. And when I walk by, I will remove my hand and you can see me walking past you." So that's what happens. Moses does not get to see the face of God, but Moses goes into the cleft of a rock. Perhaps we'll sing that hymn pretty soon. "Rock of ages, cleft for me." There you go. Moses sees a God walking past up on the mountain. He has this very real experience of God up on the mountain. Now, Elijah, you might be a little less familiar with. I think Elijah, this prophet, he is us millennials' prophet. We love Elijah. Because at one point in Scripture, in 1 Kings, Elijah is pouting and fussing. He says, "God, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm ready to quit. I don't want to be a part of this thing that you're doing." And God says, "Elijah, lay down, take a nap, wake up and eat some food." I hear that. I feel that. You're tired and hungry. You're hangry. Have you ever been hangry? Elijah is hangry. God says, "Lay down, take a nap, and I'll feed you when you get up." And God does, and Elijah is good. Then God sends Elijah over to the mountain, and Elijah goes. And it's from there that Elijah up on the mountain has that experience that I'm sure you're familiar with, where he sees the raging fire and doesn't hear the voice of God, the great wind that pushes through, and Elijah still does not hear the voice of God, and then it gets quiet. And in the stillness and the quiet, Elijah hears the voice of God. And God sends Elijah on his mission to do these things. God interacts with God's people up on the mountain. Moses and Elijah. Now here in our scripture, Jesus has his own experience. Now, unlike those other two, Jesus has a bit of an audience. He's brought his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, along with him so that they can also have this experience with him. Now, even this early in the gospel, Peter and James and John are the inner closest circle to Jesus. They were the three that went into the back room when the young girl was healed, brought back to life even. They were the ones that saw Jesus perform this miracle, saving this girl's life. They are the ones who are by Jesus' side each and every day, seeing the amazing things that Jesus is doing. Jesus brings them up on the mountain. Luke says that they were very tired. They're kind of sleep deprived. But they're able to power through. They stay awake and they experience this great thing. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon Jesus. His face changes just like Moses had changed. His clothes become dazzling white. These are all markers to point to something divine and incredible happening. They see Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Now, you guys know that I don't mind asking questions that I don't have answers to. Here's the question. Are you ready? How did they know it was Moses and Elijah? They just knew. This is an incredible story of these men encountering the divine. Incredible things happen. I don't need to know how they knew it was Moses and Elijah. Perhaps they had little name tags on. Perhaps they were flashing neon lights in the trees pointing to these men. I don't need to know. This is a story of them experiencing the divine, being in God's very presence. Little details do not shatter my faith and my understanding of this incredible thing. So they see Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah. They see his face changing, his clothes changing and becoming dazzling white. All of these markers that something absolutely wonderful is happening. They have had this mountaintop experience. And Peter's reaction is natural. He's dumbfounded. He has no idea what to do. This is an incredible thing that we have experienced. We need to do something about it. Have you ever experienced something that says, I just have to do something about it? Again, us young people, we go to a restaurant and this incredible meal comes out and I've got to do something. I've got to save it. So what do? I pull out my phone and take a picture of it. Have any of you taken a picture of a meal before? See, I make one Charleston Heston reference, and I think everybody's on board with me. It's a new thing, this experience of this meal, seeing this. We want to capture it and take a picture of it. Peter wants to capture the moment. Master, it is good for us to be here. This is an incredible thing that's happened. Let us make three dwellings. Let us raise three tents. Let us remember this place. Let's stay here. Why go back down the mountain into the rest of the world when we know that God is here? We can stay here with you and with Moses and with Elijah. Let's stay. Capture this moment. But Luke says he did not know what he was saying. From there, this experience gets even more incredible. They are engulfed in this cloud. This cloud overshadows them, the same cloud that was seen when Moses was up on the mountain talking with God. Again, this cloud indicates that God is there, and they hear a voice from the very midst of the cloud that says, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." Just when it could not get any more incredible, here they hear the voice of God. Listen to him. We don't get to stay on the mountain. We did not read the following verses here this morning, but they go back down the mountain, and the very first thing that Jesus does is he heals a man with a demon. The young boy of a man. This young child is foaming at the mouth. He has seizures. He's cast down onto the ground to bash himself against the rocks. Jesus heals this young boy. He does not stay on the mountain. He goes back down. This is a reminder to us, I think, that there are times where we get to go up on the mountain. We get to experience the absolute best. We get to feel the presence of God. We're getting ready. I'm going to have a meeting on Tuesday getting ready for camp. It will be the single best week of this entire year. I already know it because I'm going to be at camp. I'm going to be at church camp, the holy grounds of Wakandaho, surrounded by kids that want to be there, that want to learn about God and themselves. This will be the best week of 2025. And it's in the middle of June. I get to look forward to going on that mountaintop. But I can't live there at camp. I can't live there with those campers and the other staff. I can't live there on that holy ground surrounded by God's presence. I come back. Whatever your mountaintop experience is, wherever you feel closest to God, you don't get to stay there. You have to go back down. And it might be when you get down to the mountain, there is a man there with some kid that needs your help right now. When we go on the mountain and we experience God, we are sent back down to the low ground. We're sent back down to the people. It's natural to want to stay on that mountain, to build those dwelling places, but we don't get to. We take those experiences, that closeness with God, we allow it to refuel our souls and our hearts and our lives, and then we turn around and we march right back out to be with those people, to be with those who have not been to the mountain. We can chase that experience and that feeling. We can look to the next time where we can try to climb that mountain. Or we can continue down with those who need those experiences themselves. It's a challenging passage. It's an incredible thing. One thing that I want us to remember that when we have those experiences of God, when I get back from camp, I'm not going to be able to put into words the real experience. I'll try my best. Luke has done his best to share what Peter and James and John have experienced on that mountain, but the words never quite get there. So whatever we're imagining Jesus' face changing, his clothes changing, whatever happened on that mountain, these words never quite fully express it. But they came back down. And they shared those experiences with those around them. And we're here today because they came down from that mountaintop and shared what they had seen. Amen.